Centerpoint, how you guys doing this morning? I'm excited. I'm starting a whole new series, and I'm really excited about the series this morning. But I want to tell you something else. I am glad to be back. Okay? I am glad to stand here and share God's word with you. And I'll share a little bit about my trip and all of that. But I want to, you know, I love this place. I missed one Sunday, and I really miss something when I'm not here. You know, I worship God wherever I go on a Sunday. I mean, I go to church, or I'll have my quiet time. I'll find someplace. We were out camping. But there's something about being here, and it's not a building that I really love. It's you guys. I love the people here. I love my team. And I really, you know, the message this morning is really going to build on that, because I want you guys to succeed in life. I want you guys to have a fulfilling life. But one of the challenges is, and the series is going to be on that, there are setbacks in life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. My plan was to be gone last week. I was really excited. I'm going to be gone and take two Sundays off and enjoy. We're going to camp with my kids and my grandkids and just have a good time. But then some issues came up, and I had to come back. I had to be back by Thursday for some meetings to take place and some things. You know, anybody have your plans messed up? You never get your plans messed up? You know, and you know, you have this thing all, and sometimes there's setbacks, you know, and sometimes there's things that kind of, you know, you got all these good ideas, and it just never works out. That's what I want to think about for this week and for about another 7 weeks after today. You know, how do you come back from a setback? You know, how do you come back from those times when you thought things were going to go great, things were going to go good, and life is kind of settled in? How do you come back from setbacks when you have them? What do you do? How do you overcome them in our lives? So we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. And so I put a definition in your outline there. Why don't you get your little outline out? You can follow along, because you might be able to identify with these setbacks. Anybody ever have an experience like this? A setback. Loss of progress, a defeat of a plan, or a reversal of good fortune. Did anybody experience a setback in life? Maybe you're in a setback right now. And you're processing through a setback in our lives right now. You know, you know it's kind of like, well, the doors close, things have all fall apart, it's over, it's never going to get better, it's done, you're toast, forget it. Anybody ever been in, you know, just close the book up, I just quit. You know, I'm signing out, don't bother me anymore, pull the cover over my head and leave me alone, right? You know, I have these setbacks in life. And so this morning, I'm going to begin with an ancient story of a man many, many years ago who had a setback, a major. I've had some minor setbacks, and I think most of us, and sometimes I've had some major setbacks. Well, and we're going to talk about a guy named Job. His ancient story's in your Bible, called the Book of Job, okay? No, it's the Book of Job. Just if you didn't want to, you read that, say, Job, there's a book called Job in the Bible. Yeah, get a job, okay? That's what you're going to tell your kids, right? You know? No, it's the Book of Job, just to kind of give you a hint there. And we're going to talk about his ancient story, because Job was a very important individual, a very wealthy individual, a very successful individual, a very respected individual. He was a man of the community that everyone knew. He possessed a lot. He had great success in his life. And he was doing really well in life. Whether it was with his family, a very large family, 7 boys, 3 girls. Whether it was with the herds of cattle or bulls or sheep. Whether it was the success of his crops and all he harvested in, or whatever it was, this man was successful. This man was wealthy. This man was important and influential of his time. And we would look at him today and go, he's very well off. But one day, and all it takes is one day a servant comes running in and says, hey, it's been a disaster and our crops have all failed. All your investment in those crops, all your wealth in the crops have failed. Well, that, you know, I still got my cattle and my camels and my sheep, and I still got. And pretty soon another servant comes running in and says somebody's raided his herds, raided his flocks, raided those and carried them off and killed the workers. I think he's having a bad day. You know, things are not going so well. And you know, the crops are gone, the animals are gone, his wealth has disappeared, his success is gone. Then somebody comes running in and more bad news. A storm came up and your family, your seven boys with their families and your three daughters with their families were partying and celebrating a day. And the house fell upon them and killed all your children. Think you're having a bad day? Wealth, success, children, family all gone. That's kind of a setback. You know, life is just kind of fell apart. How do you come back when all of that has happened? What do you do when life has just fell all apart and you see no hope? Anybody been in those times when you just see no hope? You see no way out. You see nowhere to turn. You know, everything that you counted on is gone. But it's not over yet. Because, yeah, he's lost his wealth. He's lost his family. And now all of a sudden he physically becomes ill. And not only is he physically ill, but what he has, and I think about this, he has boils all over his body. So you can't lay down and get comfortable because you got boils all over your body. You can't stand up and be comfortable because you're sick and you don't feel well. And I think this guy's had a bad day. I think, you know, life is just, the bottom has fell out. What do you do when life feels irreversible? Anybody been in those times? When you feel there's no more hope, there's nowhere to turn, what do I do when the setbacks look so bad? There's no hope. Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Here, listen to what Job said. Here's what he said. Look at what he wrote right here. I therefore look for good to come. Evil came instead. Anybody ever done that? I get up with hope this morning, right? Things are going to be different today. Evil came the next day. Does that sound good? Anybody been in that one? I waited for the light and darkness came. My heart is troubled. Waves. Why don't you circle that word? I like that one. Waves of affliction came upon me. Anybody feel like that? It's just one thing after another. Just keeps waving over you. I read this, and how do we deal with life when it feels like there's no hope, there's nowhere to turn, it's over, it's done, I'm finished? You might as well just kill me too, God, right? I mean, you know, my family's gone, my finances are gone, I'm sick as a dog, God, I give up. How do you turn these setbacks? Now, most of us don't have that many at one time. And I'm sure most of us at some point in our life have had financial setbacks, right? You know, we've gone through financial setbacks. You know, some of us have probably went through health setbacks, where maybe a flu or maybe a bronchitis, we were set back for a while. Some of us have went through some great grief and loss of family and experienced some of those setbacks. That a wave after wave. How do you come back when it just seems like there's no hope? When you seem like there's no way to reverse this challenge? And that's what I want to look at, because I want to kind of follow through Job, because, you know, that's not the end of the story. What's so interesting, you read chapter 1 and it's all this bad stuff of Job. You know, he writes this, you know, just everything goes wrong in chapter 1. And then the rest of the book is about God. About how do you get through these days? How do you get through those days when life seems irreversible? There's no hope. So I got five things for you this morning. And I think they're so important because my idea is you might need these today. Some of you here might need, and you feel you're at the end of your rope. And so anybody remember those sayings at the end of your rope? Some of you might feel that you're at the end of your rope right now. Some of you might not need these today, but you're probably going to need them some point. I think all of you, you know, today might be going pretty good, but you know, the sun comes up tomorrow. And so I want to look at, so what I did this, to make this easy, I'm going to write it down. But I also made an acrostic. Anybody know what an acrostic is, right? You know, you take the first letter and you make words out of it. So I took the word trust and made some words out of it. Because you're going to trust God. In order to get through those setbacks, you're going to trust God. And so I got a little acrostic for us to help us when we have those setbacks, to help us when we want to turn. How do we turn? Where do we turn? What do we do when things just seem irreversible? There's nowhere to turn. It's all over. Forget it. Close the book. Let's go home and quit. Where do you go? So that's get your outline out. I got a T right there. You got the T. Ready? Tell God exactly how you feel. Don't tell God what you think. Don't tell God what you should feel like. Tell God exactly how you feel. God, I'm mad. I'm angry. God, I'm hurt. God, I'm done. I'm finished. God, tell God exactly how you feel. Because I got news for you. He already knows, okay? God's going to say, oh, that surprised me. I didn't catch that. You know? God already knows how you feel. So you might as well just tell him. I've shared with you many times that, you know, I am so blessed in my life. You know? But I got problems. I'll tell you who my biggest problem is, okay? Just so you know, my biggest problem is not my wife, okay? My biggest problem is a guy named Gary. Anybody know him? You know, my biggest problem is me. I'll be here at the church during the week, and I've shared with you. I'll walk down this hall right there, and I'll be singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I think, for I am that he is strong. I think. Anybody ever feel like that sometimes? I thank God. I tell God sometimes, you know, God, I thank you love me. It's just, I don't know God right now. It doesn't feel like it. Anybody been in that one? You might as well tell God how you feel. Yeah, because I know God loves me, but sometimes I think, lay it out for God. God, I'm sad. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm wounded. God, frustrated. God, I see no end to this. God, what are we going to do here? That's what Job did. Look here, Job chapter 1, verse 20. Here's what he said. It says, Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, and shaved his head. Now, that was very common practice, kind of a Middle Eastern practice of his time, of humility, of saying, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I don't know what to do. He stood up and just humbled himself, is what he's saying. He stood up and humbled him, shaved his head, he fell to the ground and worshiped God. See, when you're telling God how you feel, you're telling God, I trust you. Did you know that? You're trusting God with your feelings. You're trusting God with your heart and what's really going on inside of you. You're saying, God, I don't understand all this. I don't get all this. God, this is no fun. This is not what I expected. Life is not fair. Life is not working what I anticipated. God, but you know what? I still know you're God. See, when you're telling God how you're feeling, you're telling God, I know you're still God. I don't have to understand that. I don't have to get this. But I'm going to worship you and I'm going to trust you because you're still God. See, and that despair in those times when things look like there's nothing going on, that God has kind of forgotten you, if you turn back to God and just start, you know, God, I have no answers but you. Your things, and you tell him your fears, you tell him your anger, you tell him those things in your life, you're saying, God, I'm worshiping you because I know you're the only thing. You're all I have right now, God. I have nothing. Because, you know, there's usually four fears in our setbacks. There's usually, you know, kind of these four fears. I don't know about you, but when I got a setback, anybody ever get angry? You ever say something like this? Why is this happening to me, right? You get angry. You know, and you kind of wonder what's going on and why is it happening to you? Maybe, you know, then one of the problems is you feel grief. What have I lost? You know, there's this grief. I've lost something. And then there's shock. You know, you're shocked at what's going on. You know, and you're shocked by what's happening. And then there's fear. Anybody, you get one trouble, what do you think? What's going to happen? Right? You know, when you have one thing go wrong, you're going, oh, what's next? What's the roof's falling, now what's going to happen now? The walls are going to fall down, right? And so we need to process these fears, and we need to process this anger, and we need to go to God and tell God. Look what he said later on in Job 7:11. And so I cry out to you in agony and distress. God, I'm ticked off. I've had it. I'm done. It's over. I'm walking out. Pull the blanket over my head. Wake me up when this is all done, right? How do we deal with those setbacks? Where do we turn with those setbacks? What are we going to happen in those setbacks? Because if you read on in the story, it's real interesting to read on Job. You know, he's talking about this confusion. You know, he's confused. He doesn't know what's going on. He's complaining. You know, we think we can't complain to God. Well, read Job. Go ahead and read the Psalms. Look how much time David complained to God. God knows it. You might as well tell him. And so he's going through all these processes. Look at what it says here. Get up. He's not the only one. Oh, this comes from a guy named Jeremiah. What's interesting, the Bible has all these characters whose life wasn't perfect. Did you know that? A guy named Jeremiah in the Bible, you know, God raised in Jerusalem, in the area of Jerusalem, gets taken as a prisoner to Nebuchadnezzar and all of that. He's over in Babylon and all of that. Never going to get to come home again. Book of Lamentation. Here's my thing. Let me give you some here, all right? You might chalk this up. Don't read, when you're down, don't read the Book of Lamentations. Because Lamentations means lament. That's not the one. So when you're down, read Philippians. That's in the New Testament, okay? You know, don't read Lamentations. But here's what he was going through his hand. Listen to how he said this. Get up, cry out in the night, even as the night begins. Pour out your heart like water in prayer to the Lord. Lay it out for God. Tell God how you feel. Let it be on. Be honest. Have an honest conversation with God. Don't fake it. Don't pretend. You ever have anybody tell you, well, put on a happy face. Don't put on a happy face. If you're not happy, tell God. All right, let him know. That's your first step. When you have a setback, the first step, the first thing you can do is step back and tell God. I'm going to tell you what, God never promised you a perfect life. Did you know that? He never promised you a smooth sailing through life. What he promised you is he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the problem. So tell him. You got a setback? Tell him what it is. God, I am hurt. I'm mad. I don't get this. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. God, I tell God. So the T, tell God your emotion. How about the R? Refuse to become bitter. Refuse to become bitter. Don't get resentful. All right? You can be hurt, and you can be mad, and you can be angry. You can have all these emotions stirred up in you because it does hurt, and there are frustrations, and life is not fair. But don't let it make you bitter about life. Now, I'm sure some of you, as for me, have known somebody whose life made them bitter. Anybody know somebody who's been bitter? No, don't look at them if they're here right now, okay? That have somebody who, they're just bitter. And what did they become? Not are they just bitter, they become a bitter person. Bitterness is a poison, and it poisons from the inside out. You can hold it in for so long, but pretty soon it's going to show. It'll show on your face. It'll show in your attitude. It'll show in your action. Bitterness is something that you just can't keep pinned up and say, I'm mad at God. And then let it bitterness rise from that anger. You got to not have bitterness in your life. Listen to how Job said this. I come naked from my mother's womb, he said. I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job did not sin or revile God. You see what he said? He said, I'm still going to worship God. I'm not going to let this stop me from honoring, worshiping God. I had nothing when I'm born. I can take nothing with me. I've never seen a hearse towing a trailer. Anybody ever seen a hearse towing a U-Haul? It ain't going with you. I got news for you. Go back to the pyramids. You know, they tried to store up stuff for those Pharaoh guys. You go look there. Guess what? It's still there. You know, maybe it's in a museum now, but it was with them for a while, but they didn't go with them. We never take it with us. That's what Job is saying. So I'm going to go with something that's there all the time, something that never just. Something that's always going to be there and never fade. I'm going to tell you who's going to always be there and never fade on you, and that's God. He's going, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to hang with God. God is a good God. Anybody remember that? Remember we used to have this kind of rhythmic saying? I would say something like this. God is good. And all the time. Let's do that again. You guys aren't very good at that. God is good. And all the time. All right. Now, isn't that true? We can worship God. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to let bitterness get the better of me. I'm going to worship God no matter what. I'm going to refuse to let life and the devil and Satan and people and things get me down. I'm going to hang with God. That's going to never fade, never go away, and will always be there with me. See, we live in this broken world. This world is broken. This world is messed up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't care who you elect as president, it's still going to be messed up, okay? You know, I don't care where you turn, who we get as governor, who we get wherever, it's a messed up place we live in. But you know who messed it up? Broken people. You know, we're all broken. You know? And so I'm not going to let all this make me bitter. I'm not going to let all this be done. I'm going to praise God. Here's the key. When life gets you down, refuse to get bitter, worship him. Now, I'm talking about worry. I'm talking about praise God. How many of us could testify that when life is hurting and when life is down, that you listen to Christian music that lifts your heart? Anybody raise your hand on that one? Isn't that a blessing? See, our setbacks can cause us to go and worship God, and his music can speak to our heart. How about this? How about worshiping God when you read the Bible? Have some trouble and your heart's hurt and you sit there and you open God's word and all of a sudden something speaks to you. Anybody want to raise your hand on that one? See, when you worship God, God can take that bitterness out of our heart. God can take that bitterness out of our life and we can turn it to him. And so we got to get away from that because we know three things. I got one, two, three, four, five things, okay? There's five things we know. I know these things. Now, sometimes Jesus loves me, this I know, or the Bible tells me. Jesus loves me, this I think, for I am weak, but he is strong. All right? Because here's what I put down here. Because I don't have much time. You know, I don't want to stay here till 2 o'clock. Anybody want to be till 2? No, nobody raised their hand on that one. I got one hand. All right, I got two, three. All right, I'm going to preach. No, so I'm not going to read all these verses, okay? So you can look these up on your, there's your homework for you. God will never stop loving you. Did you know that? Guaranteed, 100%. I can quote verse after verse. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor heights, nor depths. I could go on and on about that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. All right? God's going to love you no matter what. How about number two? God has a plan for your life. You were born with a purpose. God had a plan for you. You're not just, well, we just think it's good for you to be here. No. There's a purpose and a plan for your life. God has something for you to accomplish in this world, and there's a plan for you. Number three, God cares about every detail of your life. This is one that's important to me. You know, God cares about taking you to heaven, right? Everybody on board with that one? You know, you got to cross that invisible line. There's a point in life where you need to come to a point in life where you recognize, God, I'm not who I need to be. I'm not who I want to be. You know, God, I want to become a believer. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do things your way. Come into my life and take control. You got to cross that invisible line and surrender your heart to God. You got to become a Christian. You know? But God not only cares about taking you to heaven, God cares about taking care of you here on earth. Did you know that? He cares about every detail of your life. He cares about your physical needs. He cares about your emotional needs. God cares about every aspect of your life. And so always remember that God cares. We know this. Number four. God is in control of things I don't understand. I have to admit, I'm not the brightest. Some of you guys are laughing because you've seen my stupidity. I'm not the brightest one, God. I don't get it, God, but I'm just going to know I'm going to trust you, God. You're in control. And the last one is God will protect you. God's going to protect you. And I can tell a story, and I'm sure anybody here can tell a story of how God protected us. See, these are things we need to understand and things we need to know that I'm not going to get bitter because I know these things. I know this. Now, sometimes I'm going to get mad. Sometimes I'm going to get hurt. Sometimes I'm going to get angry. Those setbacks can really mess me up, can really mess you up. So I'm going to have that, but I know these things, so I'm not going to let those things make me bitter because I know God. All right? But Job's not the only one. I put another guy in here. His name's Habakkuk. He went through a lot of things in his life. I liked what he had to say here. Listen to how Habakkuk talked about this. Even though the fig tree, no fruit, and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no corn, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. He's not going to let life make him bitter. He's not going to let those setbacks make him bitter. Life's going to throw things at you you do not like, right? It's going to throw things at you that hurt and that wound. But listen, God is always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is good. God is good. And all the time? All right. Okay, stay on board with me. I'm not going to lose you this morning, all right? You got to believe that. I'm not going to become bitter. God is good. All right? And all the time? All right. You guys now. All right. So first thing, when you have a setback, tell God how you feel. God, I am hurt. I'm ticked off. I'm sad. I'm wounded. God, life is a mess. Life's not fair, God. I'm depressed. Tell God how you feel. Number two, refuse to get bitter. Don't let it make you bitter. Worship God. Turn to God. All right? Number three, unite with people who will help you focus on God. You see that? Trust. T-R-U. Right? Unite with other believers, other people that help you focus on God. You are not meant to go through this world by yourself. Matter of fact, you cannot go through this world by yourself. I was watching a show the other day, and I don't know about you, I like watching a guy on Pawn Star. Anybody beside me watch Pawn Star? Yeah. He built a house up in Oregon out off the grid, all right? He has his own power supply, water, bought himself a fire truck, got all this. And my thing was, who makes his clothes? Who harvests his food? Yeah. You can't live in this world by yourself. I don't care. You go off grid all you want. We need one another. You need one another for your physical things. You need one another for your emotional stability. And we're going to have setbacks, and you're going to need some other believers, because I'm going to guarantee you something. Sometimes your faith will be shaken. My faith has been shaken. It's God. I believe in God. God's got everything. But, you know, sometimes it's like, God, where are you? And so you got to have some others around you to strengthen your faith. We need one another in our lives. We can't be isolated ourselves. But see, that's one of the problems. How many of you could identify with this? Something's gone wrong. Something just happened in your life, and it's not going well. You isolate yourself. You pull away. You don't tell anybody. You don't want to tell anybody to know what you're going through. You don't want anybody to pay attention to you. Just leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Anybody been in that one? That's the devil, okay? We need others. We need to tell others what's going on. We need brothers and sisters in Christ telling each other what's going on in our lives. We need that. One of Job's friends stepped up and told him this, okay? Listen to what one of Job's friends said to him. Some really good wisdom in this. Job, don't let your anger and the pain you endured make you sneer at God. Your reputation, your riches cannot protect you from distress, nor can you find safety in the dark world below. Be on guard. Don't turn to evil as a way of escape. God's power is unlimited. He needs no teachers to guide or correct him. Others have praised God for what he has done. So join with them. Why don't you circle that word, join with? He's saying, listen. Get around other people who can help you when your faith is shaken. Get around others who can walk with you when your faith is shaken. Get around those that are around you when your faith is messed up. Stand with them when things aren't going well. We need others in our life. I'm going to tell you, when people say, well, do I need church to be a good Christian? I've been asked that question. You know what my answer is? Yes. The best illustration I have, I'm sitting in the hospital room. Over here, I think it was Doctor's Hospital. One of our church members is having past surgery done. Young man having bypass surgery done. I'm sitting with his wife. There's two or three of us from the church sitting praying with his wife. And while we're sitting there, there's an elderly lady over here by herself. And so we're praying and we're talking and we're laughing. Even though it's serious time, we're still, you know, we're there with one another. And the lady over there sitting across from us goes like this. Do you need church to be a good Christian? And I just sat there for a moment, you know, and I waited somebody else to, nobody else answered. You know, the preacher's there, I guess he's going to have to answer. You know, the preacher's got to give the answer, you know. So I went, yes, you need church to be a good Christian. And so we finished our conversation. I got up, went over there and sat next to her. And I began to talk with her, and she had got hurt in a church. And this was the second time in a week her husband was in bypass surgery, the second time in a week. And she's by herself. And I told her, that's why you need church. You're here alone. You don't need to be alone. You need church because you need somebody sitting here with you when the setbacks like this come in life. And so I sat there with her, and I prayed with her, and I prayed for her husband, you know, and spent some time with her because she was by herself. And then finally somebody came in later on. And I think it was her grandson that came in. But I think about, we need others in our life. Anybody on board with that one? Why do you think I talk about small group church so much? Why do we say, you need, what? I remember the three things. You hear me say this all the time in this church. If you've been here any amount of time, you hear these three things. You need a church, you need a small group, and you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. And I don't know about you, but I'm hard-headed. Somebody's got to hit me with a 2x4. And I always say that before God gets me with a 4x4. And yes, Evie raising her hand back there, she does it all the time. We need that. You need those other people around you. You need in a small group. You'll hear me say it. You'll hear Linda give announcements. Get in a small group. Because you need those people around you. You need them with you because you can't go through this. This is what it says. Oh, let me get some points out of here before I get what it says here. I like this point. You know, look at that passage. There's a page that goes like this. Don't turn to evil as a way of escape. Anybody know somebody who's had a setback in their life and they go to drugs and drinking? Anybody know anything? Life has just fallen apart. I'm going to go get a drink. That'll solve your problems real quick, won't it? For about an hour. Then you wake up the next morning hugging the porch. That was really fun. Yeah. You know, drugs. Yeah, I'll turn to drugs. I'll take some drugs. That'll help me get through this time. You know, I'll just do it for a little while. I'll puff on this. I'll swallow this. Don't turn to those things. That's not going to solve you. I like that. Don't turn to evil. Well, I have an affair on my wife. That's what I'll do. That'll solve my problem. Yeah, it will, all right. You ain't going to have a marriage anymore. Yeah, that'll solve your marriage problem, all right. Yeah. But I've heard these things. I don't know if anybody's seen anybody do some of those things. Don't point, but think. You know? And I read that, and he just goes on and says, you know, don't try to escape. You know, power is unlimited. Don't do these kind of things. It's hard. So I put it this way. Wise friends, at next verse, Proverbs 13:20. Wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with the fools. Anybody? Anybody ever tell your kids, watch who you run around with? What? Sometimes we as adults need to hear that. I'm your pastor. Guess what? I'm going to say this for you guys. I don't care how old you are. Watch who you run around with. It makes a difference. All right? But here, I wanted to do this morning. I want you to listen to what Paul had to say. This is Paul of the New Testament. I want you to listen to what he said. He said people were praying for him. Look at what it said. Because you are praying for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is helping me. See, Paul's sitting in prison. He's been preaching Jesus. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. He's been stoned. He's been shipwrecked. He's had life just fall apart for him. All right? And he's in prison for telling people about Jesus. I mean, does that sound ridiculous? God, I'm doing your will. What am I doing here? No. Because you are praying for me and the Spirit of Christ is helping me, I know this trouble will bring me freedom. See, we need others in our lives who pray for us. Forward with that one. So you know what I want to do this morning? I want us to pray. Can we do that? Now, this be intimidating for some of you. And I prayed about, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? What do I do? I'm going to do it, okay? Suck it up. If you need prayer right now, I want you to stand up. Stand up. If you need prayer right now, stand up. Anybody, stand up. If you need prayer, Now, if you're sitting near one of these people, put your hand on them. Just reach across. And now, I'm not going to move around. So if you're there by yourself, I'll go like this. All right. But you can lay your hand on somebody. Just lay your hand on somebody if you can. Lay your hand on somebody. Let me pray for you, okay? Just like this. Let me pray for you. Lord, you know. We're not telling you anything that's a surprise to you. Life's not fair. And it hurts. And Lord, there's setbacks and there's wounds and there's sadness and there's grief and there's anger. There's shock, there's frustration, there's depression. Life hurts. But we also know that you care. That you love us. That you live and care about every detail of our life. And so, Lord, I lift these up to you right now. That you can lay your heart. Lord, if there's physical things, I ask for relief. I ask for a miracle from heaven, Lord, that you minister those physical things in their life. Touch them, Lord. Give them. If there's emotional battles, Lord, I ask for a clearness of mind. I ask for a freedom for thoughts, regrets, burdens, and questions. I pray for financial burdens and setbacks. I pray for the emotions. I pray for the needs. Lord, I pray for these, your people. Just as Paul said, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you set them free. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and be seated. I just felt we needed to do that. You know, I think we go on in life and we talk, well, I pray. This is one thing I've tried to do in my life because, you know, people come up to the pastor and say, will you pray for me? And I'll say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And sometimes, I hate to say this, I forget. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever say that? I have to be honest. But you know what I'm trying to do now? When I say, I'm going to pray for you, I'll go like this. Can we pray right now? And I'll pray. I'll pray. I've prayed at the mall. I've prayed in businesses. See, we need to do that. See, we need to be for one another. Does being with others of faith help? You need a family of God, right? You've got to unite with others to strengthen your faith. All right, if you're going to go through setbacks, and we're going to have them, tell God how it feels. Don't become resist bitterness and unite with other believers, okay? T-R-U, we got the S, right? Here, let's look at S real quick. S stands for surrender. Surrender your future to God. God, I'm confused. I don't get it. I don't understand. I never will. There's some things, I'm going to tell you, there's my life I don't understand to today. There's some things I'm confused about. What in the world was God doing? I mean, I don't get it. You know, there's some things that have become when I was 20. Then now I'm 60. God, I get it. Now I'm older than 60. I'm older than 60. Okay. I don't get it. I don't want to lie while I'm preaching. Yeah. So I'm older than 60. You know, what do? You just got to surrender everything to God. Your loss, your hurts, your grief, your wounds. Your depression, your disasters, your strengths, your struggles, your fear of the future, whatever it is, just turn it over to God. Here's a little phrase that I want to tell you to do. Here's the best way to do this. Just say yes to God and then let him tell you what to do. Makes it easy. Most of us want to say, God, tell me what to do and then I'll decide. No. You say, God, I'll tell you yes. Tell me now. No. Tell him yes. Surrender it all and then go. God, we used to have this. I don't do this as much as I used to when we were a portable church. I'd always say this way. I'm just going this way. I don't understand a lot. I don't get a lot. We're trying to build a building. We're trying to do this. We're in a school, 15 years portable. I'm going that way. That's all I know. I'm going that way. That's all I know. I'm just going to say, yes, God, and I'll figure it out. I don't know. There's been some times in my life I said, yes, God, and I didn't know where I was. Lauren, married in June, pack everything we have in a truck, back of a truck, in a little U-Haul trailer and drive off to college. No job, $1,000 in the bank, going to college. Yeah! Married 3 months. You know what? I'm going to tell you, that's not the good way to start a marriage. Laura has a lot better courage than I did. I look back on that. Man, you were stupid. But it's like, I'm going, man. I don't know. Just say yes. Surrender to God. And so, but here's one of the challenges. Some people, see, when I was getting ready to go to college, I was the first in my family. Nobody else had went to college. And, you know, I got my AA 6 months before my mom got her AA. I saw how ignorant I was. I did not know you had to know, you had to declare a degree to graduate. I'm ready to graduate junior college, and I've been undeclared because I'm going to Cal Baptist, you know, I'm going on. And so I don't know. I'm just going to take all the classes to transfer and go to school. And I didn't know, you know, going to my counselor's office 2 months before graduation, say, I'm going to graduate. And she goes, what's your major? I don't know. I don't have one. Well, you can't graduate without a major. Oh, I'm in trouble there. Look at my transcript. Tell you how God works. He had one already picked. I had two to pick from. Didn't even know it. Isn't it good to have a God that takes care of you? Yeah. Just surrender to God. We've all been there just like that. But you know what? Here's one of the things. Now, my mom was raised by a preacher. And her dad was what was called, some of you have no idea what the valley was like, called a brush arbor preacher. You know, they had picked the crops. My mom traveled up and down the valley in the 40s picking the crops in this valley, okay? That was my mom. She was one of the migrant workers of the 40s. My mom did, up and down this valley. My grandpa would preach wherever they were at. He was just one of those kind of preachers. And he would preach. But my mom told me this. She goes, you might want to take some extra courses just in case the preaching thing doesn't work out. Okay, Mom. You don't understand. You know, sometimes people don't understand. Did you know that? Job's wife didn't understand. Look what Job's wife says to Job, and then look how Job responds. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. You get this? Job, you're a loser. You've lost. Just give it up. Curse God and die. Go to hell, Job. Isn't that wife lovely? Love you, honey. Yeah. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. I shouldn't have said that, but it said it there. Not me, all right? That wasn't me. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Job says, I'm going with God. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm going with God. I'm going to hang with God. Your wife, your family, somebody, anything, watch who you hang out with, remember? But always hang with God. I guarantee you, you will win in the end with God. All right? Look at what he says here. Even if he kills me, I will hope in him. Look, even if God kills me, what better can you have? I'm going to heaven. Even if he kills me, I will hope in him. I will still defend my ways before him. God, I'm in. I'm totally yours. You're in control. You can have me. It's good, God, and we're going to go with this. Here's what Jesus said. Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows what you need, all of these. Let me give you a little phrase here. You can either worry or worship. You know how to test your faith? I'll give you a little test for your faith. You test your faith by how much you worry. Think about that. You test your faith by how much you worry. Replace your worry with worship. Turn it over to God. See what God can do and see what God can have and see how God works, all right? So you tell God, right? Tell God your emotions. Tell God how you're feeling. Resist to get bitter. Unite with others who help you strengthen your faith. Surrender everything to God. And the last one here is trust Jesus with every detail of your faith. Just trust Jesus. You're going to spell trust, right? That's your T-R-U-S-T. Trust Jesus. It's in Jesus' hand. Jesus has got you. When you're hurt, when life's not fair, when there's tragedies, when there's hindrances, when there's obstacles, when there's barricades, when things seem like you cannot win, there's no way I can turn this around. There's no way I'm going to get out of this. There's no way. There's no hope. It's over. I might as well just curse God and die now, right? Because I can't. It's over. My finances, life, my family, my job, it's over. No. Trust God. Trust Jesus. Jesus has every detail of your life. I like that word detail. Every aspect of your life. Listen to how Jesus says this. I've told you all of this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable. Anybody want unshakable in their life? You'll be unshakable, assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulty. But take heart, I've conquered the world. Now, how do you take heart? Because he's conquered the world. Because if he did it, guess what? He can help you do it. He can give you the strength. He can give you the wisdom. He can give you the comeback. All right? You trust him. You lay it all on him. You surrender, and then you trust him for everything. You lay it all in his hand. See, Job lost everything. Go back. Look. He lost his crops and his harvest. He lost his cattle and his herds and his camels and his sheep. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost everything. Everything was gone. But he trusted God through it all. You can read that book, and he complains and he whines and he goes on. His friends are encouraging, and some of his friends I wouldn't want as friends, okay? I'll be honest with you. I don't want that guy. Yeah. But he stood with God. And then 42:10 of Job says this. And Job had interceded for his friends. God restored his fortune and then doubled it. Think about it. He lost everything. Irreversible. Place it. But God opened the windows of heaven and poured out his blessings. Because he trusted him. He told God how he felt. He refused to get good. He united with those who would strengthen his faith. He surrendered everything to God. God, it's yours. And he trusted that God would do it. And guess what? God did. I want to tell you, you can overcome your setback. Life's not fair, and you will be. And God is a just and righteous God. And he honors his word. And you can trust him. So in your, when you have those times and it just doesn't seem fair and life's not worth it, you can trust him. Jesus' brother wrote a little statement in his book. Now there's a little letter that James wrote there in the back of your Bible, wrote one of the letters there called James. Here's what he wrote. Listen to how he wrote this. As you know, we kind of bless those who have persevered. You have heard Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Is that true? I pray that's true for you. Trust the Lord. Tell him. Resist. Unite. Surrender. And trust the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for being a compassionate and merciful God. That you will always love us and nothing can separate us from your love. You know, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, this is your time. I want you to pray. I prayed for you. Now I want you to pray right where you sit. You just talk to God. Tell God how you're feeling right now. Just tell him, God, I'm hurt. God, I'm wounded. God, I'm celebrating. I don't know where you're at. Whatever's going on for you, you just tell God how you're feeling. Now tell God you're never going to become bitter, that you're not going to let life make you bitter. That you might fight it, but you're going to resist all bitterness. That you're not going to let life get you down, that you're going to trust God, and you're going to resist it. Tell God you're going to unite with others. Tell God you're going to get serious about church. It's not going to be that occasional thing when you feel like it, that God, I'm going to be serious about my faith and about church and about my small group. If I'm not in one, Lord, I need to find one. I want you to say yes to God right now. God, I don't know what it is, but God, yes. Just God, yes. That's it. Don't ask him what. Just say yes. Then tell God you trust him. Tell him you may not understand. Tell him sometimes you may be confused. Tell him sometimes you may even complain and whine. But you're going to trust him. Lord, I thank you that you're a gracious, compassionate God, that you love us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now help us, Lord, fulfill our commitment to live a life that others may see Jesus in us. Join us in this wonderful day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we always call, we always end our service with an invitation. Even though I prayed for you and you prayed now, but maybe God has laid on your heart and you want me to pray for you personally, or there's something you want us to minister to. But I always want to end with this. I feel sometimes I don't talk enough in the message about becoming a Christian, and I always want to make sure I am as plain and clear with the message of Jesus Christ and salvation. You know, being a Christian isn't, well, I shook the preacher's hand, or I was born in a Christian home, or my grandfather was a preacher. I'm going to tell you, my grandfather was a preacher. I didn't know it. Didn't make me a Christian either. I try to make it as plain as I can. A Christian isn't someone who's done all that. A Christian is someone who at some point in their life have realized, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. You know, my life is not really, my life's kind of messed up. God, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be, God. I'm not living the way I need to be, God. God, I'm tired of doing life my way. I want to do it your way. Come into my life and take control. That's a prayer that you can pray right where you're at. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. Come into my life and take control. You can pray that prayer where you're at. Maybe you want me to pray with you, but I don't want anybody going out here confused about what it means to be a Christian. Maybe there's another need. Maybe there's something else. We give this open invitation. You can come and I can pray that prayer with you. Maybe there's another burden, another question, or something else. I'm here to minister. We give you this time to come. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you stand? Then you come as the Spirit leads and follow our worship team as we sing this song. Would you do that this morning?